Welcome to Metaverse Cast. In this episode, we're going to talk to an old friend of mine that I found out got into the NFT space. She's an artist, and we've known each other for 10 years or something like that. She and I used to be part, or am, or whatever you want to call it, part of this custom culture around lowbrow art and tattoos and custom motorcycles and cars and that kind of stuff. And I've stumbled upon her work. She used to do tattooing and leatherworks. And then one day on some social media channel, can't remember if it was Twitter or not, I saw that she's really successful doing NFTs. So I just had to talk to her. And this is a great story about how to pivot. You know, how to change, how to follow your curiosity, and how to put in the work of actually just learning. And I think most of all, Claire, she's amazing because she's gone against the herd. You know, she had to completely change who she is and dive into something where pretty much anybody around her have absolutely no clue what it's about, and to some extent actually disapprove. So I think this is just like an amazing transformation story. As she says, she's cool as fuck. So let's listen to Claire's story. Hey, Claire.
Hey, Jesper.
Before, you know, we just talked before we turned on the recording that it's been what, like, it's 3 or 4 years since we saw each other last.
Yeah, we've met so many times in the custom culture environment, and I've been a big fan of you and your art for so long, and I'm really, really happy to be here now with you in this podcast. It's so crazy that we actually met on Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. I can't remember where I saw that you were into NFTs the first time, but then I found out, you know, Twitter, and that's where everybody in this space hangs out. And I'm curious because last time I saw you, you were known as Claire von Stitch.
Yeah.
And what is it now?
I really changed my name for a reason. Well, my name now is Claire von Savage, because I don't know, I was, while transitioning into the whole NFT world, I also have a project that has the word Savage in it. It's called Savage Sweethearts. And I don't know, I just had the inner urge to kind of let go of my old self, because when I was getting into NFTs, I discovered so many superpowers within myself. Like, I got over so many blocks that I was having as an artist. I kind of wanted to get rid of a part of my old self, so I changed my name.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm super good. You know, that sounds a lot like, you know, everybody has kind of gone through this phase during the COVID thing. And I think a lot of people have used it to change, you know, apparently, you know, you have, and I have, and, you know, I'm looking forward to start meeting people again and see, okay, where are people now, kind of like post COVID and all that kind of stuff. But tell me a little bit about, you know, how you got into it. You know, what was the story about the first day you saw NFTs and things like, you know, what happened?
Well, it had a lot to do with COVID, because you know about it, you know, the tattoo studios were closed. People didn't have the money to afford my leather work and everything. So I was kind of, yeah, I still had some work to do, but I don't know, it felt like such a weird time. And I started learning about Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I don't know, that kind of stuff really sucked me in very deep. And I was like studying charts and getting into all that kind of stuff. And I kind of fell in love with this fuck the system idea of we're doing our own shit and we don't need all the big companies and big establishment kind of stuff. So that's kind of what really hooked me. And then, yeah, I opened up a Twitter account to actually learn more about crypto in general. And then I started seeing, Bored Apes and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, what's that? People are buying that stuff and that's kind of cool. So, yeah, I slowly discovered what NFTs actually are. And I was just like blown away by, yeah, the amount of money that was being flipped, but also like, hey, this is like a combination of art and crypto that I'm totally into, so I have to learn more. And it just came that I sat there with my iPad and I started just developing, my Savage Sweethearts. I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna, because I'm always like sketching up stuff. So yeah, I was seeing so many animals and apes, and everyone kind of was doing the same stuff at that time. I think it was in September 21 where I actually started with my Savage Sweetheart collection. Yes, yeah, so that's kind of where the beginning happened.
Cool. What is your thoughts around? I'm curious, also coming from the tattoo scene, about how your work would be received in the, because your style is still very like tattoo style, the work you do, right? And I ha you know it might be me who has a blind spot, but I haven't seen that much like NFT art with that look and feel, like this like tattoo look and feel. That might just be me, but what was your initial thoughts about how your work would be received?
I had no thoughts at all, to tell you the truth. And that was actually a very good thing for me because it was like the first time, because I didn't know anyone. Like, I had no idea about how people in NFTs actually are. I didn't know what they like. I just had my own kind of feeling that, okay, like all the cool stuff that I like isn't around in the NFT space. So I'm going to put it there. And so I didn't really care if people would like it or not. It was just my inner feeling saying, hey, I'm cool as fuck and I have good, good style, and I need this stuff on the blockchain. So yeah, it was kind of just that alone, having not these people I know that are expecting things that I'm gonna do. Just, my own feeling was what actually made me do it that way. And you're absolutely right. There's not so many tattoo-ish kind of styles out there, but I am seeing more and more. Like, I know a lot of cool, really, really cool one-of-one artists that actually do portraits and stuff. And now, like, I'm seeing them more and more putting on them tattoos, like, or in the backgrounds, there will be some dragons. Or I've also seen some tattoo artists actually enter the space as well. So it is transitioning slowly.
Yeah, I know of a few projects. I know there's a site called Tattoodoo, and they have this like what's it, is, I can't remember his name, Amy. This famous tattoo artist. There's some development there, because I know some people who are like behind that project. I don't know exactly what's it gonna be yet, but it sounded like it was something. And that's like where you buy the NFT and then you can actually get it tattooed. Or something like that. I don't really know how that would work, but because if we've dive down that rabbit hole for a little bit, it's just like because one of the arguments for NFTs is that, but you can just save the JPEG, right? Who cares? You can just save the JPEG. But still, if you compare that to art, like original art. It's just like, yeah, sure. You can take an original painting and you can go to like a talented painter and have a copy made any day of the week. That's the same. But there's still only one painting that has the certificate. And that's kind of the same dynamic that works in the NFT space. And from what I see, and from my own feelings as well, is that downloading and copying in a JPEG that is an NFT, like collecting that, has no value, if it's not the original one, just like saving it on the computer doesn't matter. So that whole concept have already been put, at least in my mind, and I think in a lot of people's minds as well. So it's not really a problem. But then if you look at it from a practical perspective in terms of tattooing, you don't really care. You just need the stencil to be able to put it on somebody. So I don't know how that's going to work, but luckily it's not for me to figure that out.
Yeah, that's so funny that Tattoo Do is actually doing this, because I'm doing it already. I actually have a collection called DGen Tattoo Club, where I have really pretty true traditional designs, and my utility is exactly that. The person that buys the NFT has the right to come over here and get it tattooed by me. The only issue with that is that, you know, we're all across the world, so it's going to be really hard for some people to actually have that utility. But actually, I think in tattooing, it makes perfect sense to have that.
Yeah, I think the idea is that you can buy the tattoo from an artist, and then you can go to any tattoo artist and have it actually made. I'm not sure. I'm totally guessing here because of the world thing, which we as tattoo artists know that, okay, that's not necessarily going to end well, because because people, you know, it depends a lot on which artist you go through to actually have that made, and so on and so forth. But let's not dwell more on that. I'm more curious about, you know, from finding out what NFTs were, and, you know, you did your first drawing. What was the story from going from a drawing on your iPad and your thoughts around, hey, I want to do NFTs, to actually putting out your first NFT? What did you do?
Yeah, first of all, I had to go through learning about MetaMask, you know, the digital wallet you absolutely need if you're in NFTs, and, you know, figuring out how to set that one up, figuring out how to use it with OpenSea, you know, just really learning about how to set it up. And I figured that one out. Then I uploaded, I think, the first 3 Savage Sweethearts. And then I set up a Discord even. Well, my son helped me set up a Discord because he's a gamer. And, you know, because I was an NFT collector before I set up my own collection. So I knew kind of, okay, people want a Discord, they want to get to know you. So that's what I was doing as well. And then actually I had my very first sale a day later after listing the first ones. And it was really cool because he came into my Discord introducing himself and telling me, like, hey, Claire, you're going to have to do this and this. He was giving me some tips and, you know, helping me a little bit on Twitter. And that was really, really cool. And I'm really good friends with him, actually. And he's very, very successful now, even with big projects. So I've seen him kind of rise, you know, from a collector himself to a project leader. And, you know, it's really cool what's been happening.
Cool. A ton of questions just come into my mind, but around that, that I want to hear. First, you know, what did you start collecting, and how, and what did, you know, what art did you come across, and what made you buy it?
Well, I had a little bit of Ethereum, and I was seeing these, so you're going to laugh, I was seeing these Bored Apes everywhere, and they were very expensive at the time already. I wish I would have got one, though. And then I had do you know Wicked Ape Club?
No.
You know what it's called? Wicked Bone Club.
Listening to stuff with ape in it.
So it's Wicked Bone Club. I think that's what they're called. But mm-hmm. I haven't been in their Discord for a very long time. I still have it, though. So that was the first one I collected. And it was actually really, really doing well. But I started collecting more and more. I minted some crypto chicks. And I was in their Discord. And then, you know, I sold some of them. I bought some loopy donuts. Yeah, I minted those, and they were also actually doing really well. And then the team left them by themselves, and you know, nothing's been really happening. They're trying to get their stuff together again now with you know, people from the community actually pushing it again. But yeah, you know, I've just been like being a collector before actually being an NFT artist with own collections is actually pretty cool for learning and watching, you know, what the team is doing, what the audience is like, because it does take a while to kind of figure out what's going on.
Yeah. What were your thoughts? Because that's something that I've thought about a lot, about, you know, actually collecting and why, and I'm keeping a very close attention to what I feel about like value for certain pieces compared to other pieces and stuff like that, because that doesn't seem honestly to be any kind of real logic behind it. Just some emotions which can be triggered from all kinds of stuff. So some I'm super curious about, you know, what were you feeling? What were you thinking? Did you start collecting because you wanted to flip it? Did you like the pictures? Or what was the, do you remember what thoughts went through your head?
Well, when I started collecting, it was actually just for the fun and kind of to be part of something that I didn't fully understand at the time. I started collecting, I think it was in April 21, somewhere around there, maybe also a bit later. But that's when, like, the main reason to start collecting was actually to learn, to have some kind of opportunity. But I did really feel that FOMO, which actually really, really can hit hard when you're a noob in the space. So that was something I really had to learn to control. And exactly right that you were saying, you know, you have to really look out for projects. Like, if you want to get into projects, you really have to know what you're actually looking for. And you have to think to yourself, okay, why do I want to mint this? What is going to happen? You know, and I think the main factor why I would mint another NFT is mostly community value. I think that's the most powerful.
And can you define that a little more deeper, your community value? What does that mean for you?
Community means, in the NFT world, it means everything. Because I've figured out that, like, as a noob, you come into Twitter, well, at least for me, it was that way. You have no idea what's going on. You know no one. And it's just like being lost. But like, if you have an NFT, for instance, you go into the Discord, you're in that community, you chat to people, you kind of give back to the community, you help out. And that's when people see you. That's when they follow you on Twitter. That's when they also support you with your own work. And you actually build up real friendships. And in the beginning, when I look back in time, when I started all this, I didn't even think this would be possible. And it is so, like, it's had a massive impact on my whole life. And I've been meeting the most inspiring people just by being in these communities. So it, for me, it means actually everything.
Cool. I've been struggling a little bit with the whole community part of it, because I can't remember, I lost count, but more than 20 Discords that I'm trying to, you know, I gave up on following it, but projects that I can, okay, this is what I'm keeping an eye on. And I also, you know, for me, it has mostly been gaming NFTs, you know, this whole play to earn thing. So the NFTs that I own are tied to various games. So I'm a little bit into there. You know, I have Star Atlas NFTs, this big space game, and I'm part of a guild in that space. So I'm mostly in that guild Discord. And then I have some friends who are in the online marketing space who also got into NFT gaming, and also I'm in their Discord and stuff like that. So there are a few Discords where I kind of hang out, but it was for other reasons. And then there's all these Discords of projects where sometimes I even know some of the founders, but still it's impossible to stay active and listening and and contributing. So what has been your thoughts around that? You know, have you just dived into one community, or what's been your experience?
Yeah, it's it can be really, really hard to keep up with all of those Discords. And I don't recommend being in too many. Well, I have a lot of Discords I'm in, but I think the key is to find the ones that kind of resonate with you the most, and kind of really get to know people in that, maybe that one or two Discords for the start, because yeah, otherwise it's just going to be superficial, because I find it's not easy. Like, for some people it may be, but I'm the type of person that isn't really good at chatting online anyway. Like, I'm pretty, I am open-minded, but I have really problems to kind of communicate in real life and on Discord. So it's been a challenge, but it's also at the same time, like, pushing, you know, to, hey, I have to, you know, show more of my personality. And the only way I can do that is kind of by, yeah, communicating. So that's what I have been doing, but it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. So if you're an artist in the space and you're trying to keep up with 10 Discords, that's going to burn you out. No worries. It's really going to crush you, you know.
So what have you done? You know, you found like one, because I totally agree. The question is like, okay, you might have to go through a couple of Discords and projects to actually find something that resonates with you, right?
Yeah. So that's why I kind of joined some where I saw that my friends on Twitter were in, or where just I really liked the art. And then, you know, it's kind of like, it's been a process of, you know, just popping in saying GM and the usual stuff. But then, you know, when you see, because yeah, you get to know more and more people and then you find them in those Discords. And I find like there's two Discords where I'm in now, like every morning I will go in there for a half an hour. I will chat to my friends because they are, yeah, they seem to be all in that one Discord, because yeah, the team of that project, they care for one-on-one artists and they're attracting those kind of people. So yeah, that's kind of the magic of it all, you know?
Yeah. I've seen some, you know, there's a Nordic artist Discord that I'm in as well, which is a super cool concept. But then you see, you know, there's like one post a month or something like that, you know, it's not really active, and then it dies out again, and you know, and they are trying to establish like an exhibition, like an online virtual exhibition, which is also a super good idea, but there wasn't really any traction behind it. So I think for me and the projects I'm working on, I'm really like not pushing starting a Discord, because I think once you do it, you really have to pay attention and be in there and make sure that that it's active, because online communities, where that's why Facebook groups work so well, because you're there anyway if you are, but if you have to make an effort to go into a community like a forum, then you expect there to be something new since you were there last time, and if there isn't, you know, with time, you know, your interest will just disappear, and the community dies for everyone. So it really, you know, I have deepest respect of those people who can manage to start a Discord and then really make it grow and make it fun and not necessarily build it on doing these weird competitions and you know, ranking systems and all this kind of stuff that people seems to be doing to keep Discords alive.
Yeah, it's a tough one with Discords, because I have my own Discord, and it's really like, if you're a project and you have a team where you have mods in that Discord and stuff, it's a different story. But when you're alone managing it by yourself and you're not a project, you're one of one artist, then it gets really interesting. But I have found that, like, I have 142 people in my Discord at this time, I think. And I don't know, it's like growing organically. And the people that are in there, they don't expect, like, I used to put a lot of pressure on myself with that Discord because I was like, oh, people are not writing and they're not, like, nothing's happening. But I think the people that are in my Discord, they have kind of realized, hey, we're here for the art, not really for like a FOMO-driven Discord with a lot of hype. They just want to have a part in my community, and I do some raffles once in a while. I also do purchase raffles where they can have my NFT at a better price than the public. You know, just stuff like that that kind of keeps the community together, rather than, you know, having that hype going on all the time.
Yeah. So a detail in regards to that. How often do you post on your Discord? Is it daily or?
Yeah, I'm in there every day. Like, I don't do announcements all the time, but I do, like, I put in sneak peeks of what I'm doing. I say, you know, I chat with them, and they're actually, you know, my friends. So it's the same as going into Facebook and saying hi over there. It's just a total different community. And I can, yeah, share parts of my life with them. And that's really cool.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, so practically, you know, how do you create your NFTs? You know, what systems do you use? You know, do you know how to code Solidity?
God, no. Do you?
No. That's what I mean, you
I
know. What do you do like when you know, if somebody is like considering minting an NFT. Look, like me, you know, I've been dancing around it for ages and I've done a few half projects, but I haven't really done anything yet. You know, do you have anything that you've learned? Like, you know, something, okay, don't do that, do this, and things like that.
Oh, well, first of all, if you want to do a project, you know, you have to maybe figure out, do you want to go there out there as a one-of-one artist first, or do you really want to start a big project? That would be two questions. And then, like, if you just want to be like a one-of-one artist in the space, putting out your really, really cool designs that you have, there are ways of doing it. I started with OpenSea, and the good thing, well, it's good and bad. They have their own contract where you can mint very easily. So you just put it on their smart contract where there is no knowledge of coding or anything needed. And it's the shared OpenSea storefront. So you have your own collection on their contract, and people can just buy it, which makes it very easy just to getting the feel of, you know, it's just the first steps. What I have two collections on that contract. So I feel like I want to own my contract myself now. So I'm going to move over to Manifold now. And Manifold is a platform where you also do not know code, have to know coding, but you can create your own smart contract. And I think that's a really, really great thing that they're offering there.
Yeah, I'm looking a lot into like these no code solutions for creating various Web3 stuff, you know, NFTs and apps and things like that, which are popping up all over the place. So because of you know, there's obviously a demand of you don't have to be a coder to put stuff out there. You know, I've been around the internet since the 90s. You know, back then it was HTML that you had to be able to do. But then, you know, quickly we saw all these Web 2 style apps where everybody could contribute to the content. And then, you know, we got what we have today, Facebook, YouTube, Google, all that kind of stuff, social media and so on. Okay, so that's curious because I've heard a lot of artists do various things, but just going the OpenSea route is but OpenSea, do you use, is it Polygon or is it ETH or what network do you use?
I'm on ETH, but there is a possibility to use Polygon on OpenSea as well. But I've never used Polygon.
No, but then when you mint your own, you know, just so that I sure understand it, you know, you put up an NFT on OpenSea, and then you actually you mint it yourself, right?
Well, it's called lazy minting, and the process is, as far as I know, I'm not a technical expert, but once you put it there, you load it up, it's not really minted yet until the first person buys it. That's when it's minted. And the person who actually buys that is also paying for the minting costs.
The gas fees.
Yeah.
Aha. So, okay. Because I remember back in the like early days, which is what is like a year and a half ago, people were talking, you know, there was artists claiming this, okay, you know, I had to pay like $200 or whatnot in gas fees. So I and all these other stuff. I remember there were some YouTube channels where artists would do like this total calculation of how much they spent and then how much they earned, because you know, people would flash these numbers that I just sold like just JPEG for, you know, how much money. So it sounds okay. This sounds crazy, but then people actually break it down and, you know, all their fees and stuff like that. I remember I was thinking like, okay, I don't want to put out like one picture and then pay like $150 or something in gas fees and things like that. So that lazy minting, that's something that's come up since, probably to tackle that problem there.
Yeah, I think it's a really great way to get to deal with, you know, the struggles of the gas fees, and also just, you know, how it is, how it feels like to have a collection and kind of to learn more. But I think it's actually better to have your own smart contract, but yeah, you know, you can always develop yourself.
Why is it better to have your own smart contract?
Well, if a smart contract is owned by OpenSea, they could easily just delete it, you know, and it's just not, you're not in the power of controlling it. And that's the problem with it.
Yeah.
Because you have to ask yourself, what will happen to the people who have collected your work? If something happens in OpenSea, I don't know, they go broke or whatever, and they just, you know, can't, they delete everything, what then? You know, that sucks. Yeah. And you don't want to have that. So yeah, there's a possibility to merge the collection that you already minted on OpenSea contract. You can merge them, you can move them over to your own contract. So I don't know, I'm going to do it for sure.
Yeah. But you're also like, you're stepping into advanced mode, it seems like. So would you recommend people starting out, you know, doing this manifold thing? And
well, starting out like on that level would be something that, you know, you would fully have to do all that research in advance and really, really know what it's all about. You know, some people are really talented with that kind of stuff, and for them it may be, you know, really, really easy to learn all of that in such a short amount of time. But for me, it's a struggle. You know, I'm not really techie at all, so for me it's like really learning. So I think it really depends on who you are.
Okay, yeah, good answer. I want to dive into, you know, how, you know, this whole, you know, our you know, mutual background in the whole custom culture scene and the relation to NFTs. But before that, I'm thinking like, what's the like average level? How much do you charge? How much do you sell your art for?
It's actually really different because like I have my Savage Sweethearts. I offer Discord purchase raffles at 0.07 ETH. If they don't get bought, I list them for 0.14 ETH. I've sold them a little bit higher in the past as well, but I kind of wanted to give back to my Discord community, so I choose that route. Then I have the DGen Tattoo Club, which is a collection of different level of work, you know. I have some big pieces which have a lot of detail. They will be priced much higher than, you know, if it's just like a gap filler tattoo, it will be, you know, 0.04 or something like that. Yeah. So it really depends.
Okay.
But I don't believe in selling yourself out too cheap. I think that's not a good thing.
No. And just, you know, we've seen that in the custom culture scene a lot, you know, where artists sell something they've spent like 50 hours doing, and they sell it for like 120 euros or something like that, which is, you know, usually because people have, you know, they've done it and they're finished with it, and then they're not doing it as a living. It just needs to get out to a home so that they can finish a new, do a new piece. I can understand that, not judging anything, you know, whatever it is, but it's always like, and that's the thing with the NFTs, right? Is that, you know, you don't have to travel all over the world and do that kind of stuff necessarily, I guess. You know, you don't have to pack up and you don't have to ship things and all that, which makes it hopefully a little easier for artists to kind of, you know, get their work out there.
I think for artists, it's very, very, it's a huge opportunity, for real, because you can control what you're doing. You can control your own sales, and people don't, like, in real life, all these price discussions, you know, like people coming up to me and saying, oh, I know someone who will do this cheaper. It's like, go fuck yourself, you know? You don't have that in NFTs. No one's going to come up arguing about pricing, you know? Don't have that kind of mentality there, which I'm very happy about.
Yeah. So, talking about mentality, you know, what's been your experience? Because I haven't really been in contact with anyone in the custom scene. You know, I mentioned it to my old lowbrow school if somebody wanted to dive into this NFT stuff with me. But, you know, tumbleweeds, you know, complete radio silence. Nobody was interested. So what's been your, experiences, you know, with people from this like traditional tattoo and custom culture scene?
I've been sharing a little bit of my NFT work on my Instagram, and I think people are a little bit disturbed. What, you know, they don't understand NFTs at all. I have met no one in the NFT space except you from the custom culture or tattoo scene that I know, which I find very weird. I've reached out to a pretty famous tattoo artist in Germany before launching my DGen Tattoo Club collection, because I felt I had mixed feeling about putting out a tattoo collection out there, because, you know, I don't own tattoo style. It's based on, you know, history and stuff like that. I'm just putting in my own style. But I wanted to, like, I reached out to that guy and I said, hey, I'm doing this. This could also be a really cool opportunity for you and maybe, you know, people that you know that are really talented who would like to put out their work and maybe earn some money and stuff. And the reaction was like, ugh, I don't like that. You know, so it's like, I had a hard time, you know, being, you know, diving into the NFT stuff with, you know, kind of having to leave behind that. The love, I didn't leave behind my love for custom culture or anything, but it takes a little bit of courage to kind of just be the person you are and do what you want to do with, you know, not giving a fuck about those people judging you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, to be completely honest, that's probably one of the things that's been holding me back a little bit. You know, I have a couple of communities online on Facebook. You know, one is an NFT community, but I also have this community around this, like, Sofubi, you know, this plastic Japanese plastic monsters, right, which are pretty big. I don't know, I think it's like probably like 4,000 or 5,000 people in there, which are all nerding out about these, like, Japanese plastic monsters. And I've aired the thoughts, you know, hey, what do you guys think about, because some of these vinyl toy designer things. You know, Frank Kosik is putting out NFTs, and there are a few of these in that space who are moving into the NFT direction. So I kind of add that opinion in there, and it was like, you know, lynch mob. You know, people was like completely going apeshit about NFTs and things like that and what it was. And for me, I find it a little bit funny because we kind of know that the first, you know, when we received like new information as humans, it's what is it they say? It's first it's violently opposed, then it's ridiculed, and then it's standard. You know, yeah. So and right now I think we're still in this place where it's split between, you know, as William Gibson says, you know, the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed yet. And yeah, right now we have and we see the same thing in gamer spaces. You know, I have screenshot where from Twitter, where people are like really saying horrible things about, you know, these gamers versus NFT bros is kind of like the storyline, and people are going nuts, like really hatred.
Yeah, that's so weird, because actually in gaming, it would be so logical to like sell those fucking Fortnite skins as NFTs and be able to trade that stuff, you know? Yeah. Because my son is always like, oh, mom, can I have that Fortnite skin? Like, can you trade it? Is it going to rise in value? No, so I'm not getting it for you. If that shit were an NFT, I'd buy it, you know?
Yeah.
It would make perfect sense.
Yeah, me too. You know, I followed the play to earn, which is kind of like a stupid term. But this whole NFT gaming space, that's kind of been my focus mainly. And there's a lot of cool shit going on. You know, there's so much stuff that where NFT fits perfectly with gaming. But I think this whole idea about play to earn has kind of struck a wrong note or something like that, because you saw this, you know, you're familiar with Axie Infinity, right? Yeah. So you saw this whole thing about Axies, which crashed, but that was basically because the gamers was there to play the game to make money, you know, so they're dragging all the value out of the system because they have kids to feed. You know, so it doesn't matter how many skins and stuff that you can sell to these people, because I'm not going to buy a Fortnite skin when my kids need food, you know. So that was just like the wrong kind of audience. So people are now talking about this play and earn thing where you buy the NFTs and get into the games because you want to play the game. And then there's an upside or extra opportunity for the whole NFT play.
Yeah, that's
as
what
well.
I'm missing, actually. Yeah. That would be the perfect thing for gaming.
Yeah, lots of interesting places or stuff is going on in that direction. Way too many to count now, but it is really something that, and even like big, like super cool looking games. The only problem is it takes years to develop a game. So you buy the NFT now, and then, you know, 2 years from now, there might be a good game or not, you don't know.
So touching on that, I've seen so many projects having in their roadmap, oh yeah, we're building in the metaverse and we're developing a game and stuff like that, like creating some kind of FOMO. When I read that, it's like, oh yeah, I might flip.
Yeah, I feel the same way, you know, because all of this, you know, we're creating a game or we're creating a metaverse. And a metaverse is basically a Discord where you hang out every day. That's a metaverse, you know. So does that mean you're creating like a 3D virtual reality world, or what do you mean metaverse and things like that? But it's definitely the words that are being thrown around. And that's also why, you know, if I'm doing any art, you know, I'm not going to build a metaverse. I'm not going to create a game. I'm just going to, you know, I just want to put out some stupid shit, you know, some of my crazy work, one-on-one stuff. I'm not going to do a PFP project or anything like that. You know, I'm involved with something that might resemble PFP projects, but that's not something I want to do for my artwork. That's not the artistic release kind of thing. You need more people to do something like that, I think.
Yeah, the beauty of being a one-of-one artist is that people don't expect you to promise metaverse and games and stuff like that. You know, they they see the art as utility. So that's actually, I would love you to do that, because I think you would, yeah, I know your work and it's amazing. So I'm hoping for it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I gotta get my act together and start doing something. Maybe I'll call upon you for a little advice now and again when I run into a snag. Okay, so this is just like super cool to catch up with somebody from this old time space where we both have moved in this crazy direction. I'm thinking a little bit about that's something I've thought about myself. Where do you imagine using the art you have collected? And where do you imagine people using your stuff in the future?
Well, I have some people reaching out to me about having, you know, online metaverse galleries where they've already built really cool galleries, and one of my pieces in there already, which is really cool. And there's more of that kind of stuff going on. And well, in the future, I can't tell you, like, I don't have a vision of how people might be using my art, but they could, if they wanted to, have it tattooed, for instance. Right now, the main utility is, you know, for the love of the art.
So what do they do? Do they just, they buy it and then they just keep it in their wallet?
Yeah, they buy it, they keep it in their wallet. They're a part of my community. And I do like giving back to them as well. So I do, sometimes I will raffle something to my community, or I had a really special hidden giveaway going on my Twitter. It was my birthday, and it was a hidden giveaway, and all those people who kind of interacted with that tweet, they're getting a really cool airdrop now. So I selected 10 of the holders that reacted and 10 friends that I really like as people in the space. I do things like that, just the way I feel about it. And I think that the reason why people buy one-of-one art in the first place is they believe in you as a person and as an artist. And that is actually the utility.
Yeah, which is like similar dynamics to you know, real or real like physical art. Same thing, you know. I always said, you know, people don't buy your art; they buy you.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's also why, you know, as we did with Flick and Flames, one of the unanimous voices was that, you know, most of the artists, their fans and people who buy their art is other artists.
Yeah.
Which is super cool, and that's also something I've experienced many times in these, you know, custom culture shows, where if there's like a good spirit, when, you know, if everybody is selling, then everybody's selling, because, you know, when I sell something, I'm gonna use some of that money to go buy something from that other artist whose work I haven't collected yet, and all that kind of stuff. So I can see that dynamic, you know, if you can do these kind of online shows where all ships rise in high tide, kind of thing, you know, that could totally happen online as well, I can imagine.
Yeah, and it is similar like that in the NFT space as well, because, yeah, you have your friends in the space and you want to own their art, you want to support them, and it's kind of, yeah, it's give and take, you know?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm, you know, in the tattoo thing that I'm super curious about, and it might be some time out, you never know, but I can feel, you know, having I don't know, do you own like an Oculus, like a virtual reality device or anything like that?
I have no idea about virtual reality.
Okay, but I had to buy one, you know. Yeah, I've been following it since the 80s. But I've always thought that, okay, that's not really, you know, it's not there yet where I want to get into it. But then I started this podcast, and, you know, I couldn't really start a podcast about the metaverse and related stuff without actually having access to virtual reality. So I bought this Quest 2. And one of the first things I noticed was, you know, because you have this space, you know, kind of like where you log on, like your homepage on your browser or whatnot, but it's around you and you can skin it. You know, you can pick themes for it. And I've tried different like versions of these home spaces. And one of the first things I thought about was, okay, this is where you want to hang your NFT art for sure, you know, because if you have your space, it's like, and then you, because it's digital, you can do all this kind of cool stuff, because you can actually, you know, you can have stuff that moves, you know, you can have, you know, stuff that comes out of the wall kind of thing, you know, that's like all these super cool things that you can imagine if you are taking this NFT art into like a virtual space. So that's one thing.
I think, that is one big possibility. Absolutely. Totally.
It's already happening kind of, but I see that that will be, you know, once these, everybody starts to have a virtual space, it could be like, you know, the waiting room before a Zoom thing, you know, that could easily be kind of like a virtual space, you know, office meeting rooms and all that kind of stuff. Then I think, so this is where Zoom crashed just as we were about to wrap up, but we managed to reconnect. So here comes the last few minutes of the conversation. Okay, we just had a minor crash in Zoom, but where we left off, we're talking about like virtual reality and this virtual space and NFT art, which I think will be like a big catalyst of being NFT art being mainstreamly adopted. But another thing that I've noticed, and that's also one of the things that you saw super early with this whole NFT land and Decentraland and Sandbox and all this kind of stuff, is people's avatars. And the fashion brands, they moved in there super early, right? You have Adidas and you have Gucci and you have all these who are already present. And I'm thinking like, that is going to be a huge deal for tattoo artists as well, I think. Because people, you know, imagine, you know, your virtual avatar with your tattoos, and then you can change them. So that, okay, when you're playing some kind of game where you are like a Polynesian native, you can put out all your Polynesian style tattoos, and you know, you can put all your old school tattoos, and so you can have way more tattoos and you can actually fit on your body. And again, I think that's one of the things that, okay, that's going to make a huge difference for the tattoo scene when that kicks in, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's going to be absolutely huge. Like, because I think everything that makes you or allows you to show your status in the metaverse is going to be huge. Any cool ways of customizing your avatars are going to be the thing for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it already is. It's just avatars haven't been widely adopted yet. Have you seen this Ready Player Me thing?
No.
it's you know, everybody's always talking to this about this Ready Player One book and movie that was out.
Yeah.
That seems to be the reference when people are talking about virtual reality and metaverse and things like that. But there's an avatar service which is now connected to many of these different metaverses. That's called Ready Player Me, where I can go in and create an avatar that is working on different worlds.
That sounds pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And right now you can pick different clothing for it. And there's also, you know, it won't, and, you know, facial expressions and all that usual stuff. But I can see soon, you know, tattoos is going to be part of it. And even maybe t-shirts, you know, t-shirt designs, you know, why not? You know.
Yeah, for sure. I've been to Decentraland. This is the only metaverse I've been in. But it really sucks. Like, I suppose you can go in there with your virtual reality kit, and I think then it's really, really fun. But like on my computer, using like the keys to kind of try to walk and stuff, that it's not fun at all. So maybe I should dive into that virtual reality stuff. I think it sounds cool when you talk about it.
it is, but I totally recognize what you're saying. And I think, you know, one of my experiences was when I got my Oculus, you know, also having hopes about these like metaverses and things like that, is that that is actually quite a barrier of entry in terms of, because it's weird, you know, standing in your living room and then talking to other people in different spaces. You know, there's two levels of awkwardness. You know, first, you know, especially if there's somebody in your living room with you, you know, doing something else. And then also the awkwardness of talking to strangers in a virtual space. So I think that is kind of just, you know, I haven't used it that much for actually interacting in like metaverses and virtual worlds as such. You know, usually the thing I've done most is just play virtual table tennis.
Well, you know, I hang out in Twitter spaces a lot. And it's kind of, it makes me think, how cool would it be if we would all meet, like, instead of just, you know, having audio in Twitter spaces, kind of meeting up in a cool place in Decentraland, you know, sipping some cocktails and really, like, it would become even more real, kind of.
Yeah, it's getting there. The barrier right now is that you can have these avatars. There is a thing that which is pretty cool that I tried recently called VR chat, and you can access that actually also on your phone. And you know, it's kind of like a world where people are building games and spaces and having concerts and all this kind of stuff. It's pretty extensive actually, pretty cool. But everything is still kind of low poly graphics. So when you hang out with people, it's still, you know. It's kind of weird. It's in the super early days, but it's still fun to try out. VR chat is definitely one of the things that I think is, because you can create your own space. You can create an art exhibition. You can create a concert. You can create a talk. You know, the tools are there to just do that, and then invite people to get in there and hang out and things like that. So those tools are already available. You know, and then you can customize your avatars in all kinds of ways and things like that. So technically it's there, but it's still in kind of like the early stage. I saw the other day there was a, you know, Meta is developing this VR mask, which actually films your face while you're there so that, you know, you can see facial expressions. And I've seen some demos, which was mind-blowingly close to reality. So I think when we get there, then these virtual meetups is going to be super huge.
I think that is one of the things that really interests me, because like when you are just an avatar or you're just in a chat or you're just in Twitter spaces, yeah, I think what really is a struggle when you're kind of, when you're not that type of a person that is so, that finds it easy to have contact with people, like introverts and stuff. I think, yeah, being able to show just your personality by your expressions, by your smile, will really, really open up some very cool things for us.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think I'm a little bit like you, you know, not like super outgoing, a little bit introvert. Maybe many of us geeks are like that. I don't know. but yeah, for me, I think it's cool. But one of the questions I always finish with is, what are you looking most forward to in this digital future from your perspective right now?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I'm actually looking forward to having more and more of my IRL friends actually waking up and coming into this space to tell you the truth, because that's really what surprises me most, that it hasn't happened yet. I'm just super open to the future. I don't expect things to happen. I'm just like really excited about it. And yeah, as I said, like, please, all my friends, all cool people, enter this space.
Yeah, maybe we all just join your Discord, because you've been leading the way, so we can jump into your Discord, and that's a good start.
Oh yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I will.
I'll send you an invite.
Great, thank you. All right, cool. It was super good talking to you. Super interesting to hear your journey and your thoughts. And I'm deeply impressed about how much knowledge you have gathered in this space. You know, as you, your experience as well, I haven't really met any of my old friends who've dived, you know, done what I've done, learned all this stuff, only people in the space already. So it was nice to meet somebody from the past who've ventured down the same journey.
Yeah, same here. I was really honored, and thank you so much for this wonderful interview. It was really great talking to you.
You too. Thank you. And we will put the links to all your stuff in the show notes, so people want to check out your work and your Discord or whatever you want to share. You know, we're going to put that in the show notes when this episode airs.
Awesome.
Cool. Thank you, Claire, and see you.
Thanks, Jesper. Bye.
I don't know about you, but I thought that was an amazing conversation. I felt really lucky to have the chance to actually talk to someone from the, let's say it, Web 2, like old school art scene, who have made the transfer into NFT, blockchain, Web 3 art space. I was very much inspired to start experimenting and having fun with creating digital art. You know, I found while I was doing my research after talking to Claire in March 21, I did the work for my first NFT, but I never published it because I found out how it worked, and it's pretty much the same as everywhere else. You know, you have to build your community, you have to do your marketing and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking of it as a way to make money, add to my income stream like I have done previously with my artwork. And I just found out that, I didn't have time to do the work to actually make this into like a proper income stream. But now I feel like, fuck that. I'm just going to dive in and have some fun with it. Explore this new technology, you know, what can we do and stuff like that. Right now I'm experimenting with doing like a 3D virtual space, both to show my own work, but also because I have a few art NFTs that I've collected and I would like to put it somewhere. So that's kind of been the thing for me with art NFTs. I have some computer, like some game NFTs, which has the utility of, you know, getting you access to the game and assets in the game and stuff like that. But the art NFTs, I haven't really gotten into it yet because it's just like, I've collected, you know, I used to collect a lot of art. You know, I'm not new to collecting art, and I know where it ends up. You know, I have huge folders and stacks of prints and stickers and t-shirts and things like that that I have collected from other artists. You know, I have original paintings in my house and things like that. And I have art all over the place. And I was just like, I'm not going to start hoarding art. I'm not going to go down to this like crazy path of just hoarding a lot of art because I already have a ton of art. So I really wanted to find a place where, this is a digital space where I can hang my art and maybe I can hang out there and do something in the future. I don't know. We'll see. I'm definitely in the experimentation phase and I don't know when I'll move past. This is definitely something I'm doing only for fun when I'm having the energy to do it. That's been, you know, after talking to Claire, this has been, you know, what I want to do is I'm going to do it for my own sake. I'm going to put out some stuff, have some fun with it, see where it goes. It doesn't have to go anywhere. And then I'll just take it from there. That was my, you know, big takeaway from talking to Claire is experiment, try, put some stuff out there. We're still in the very, very early stage. You know, we don't know where digital art as such will go in the future. I don't think it'll go away. I think it'll just be more and more ways of enjoying it. So I don't think whatever time you spend on this, if you're not making any money or whatever, but you're learning a lot, you're trying. And there's only, you know, there's two ways of learning really well. And one is to get your hands dirty and actually start doing the stuff. And the second one is teaching. So that means that if you get into it right now, you know, then you can help some other artists do their stuff as well, just like Claire is doing in her community. So Claire's community would be a very good place to start. You can find links in the show notes. So thank you very much for listening. I have been your host, Jesper Wam. You can find me online on Twitter if you just search for Uncle Online, because that's my new metaverse identity. Catch you on the next one.